There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Welcome to the family with
Doug Sprinthal
and Andy Brampernard.
Special guest coming up in just a couple of seconds, but I'm not going to tell you who it is yet. We'll tell you it's Kevin and Gail. That's what we'll tell you. All right. We'll be right back with our special guest up next with the family. Well, you could just intro yourself.
I like it when you do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Doug Sprinthal, Walser Automotive Group, Walser.com.
Hello, boys and girls.
That was really good.
I know, that's my new tagline. I'm just trying it out.
We are
in dire need of used car inventory because new cars are so short in supply. If you have something that, you know, because of COVID, you're not driving very much, maybe you've got a lease car that's sitting in the garage going, yeah, I could really be fine with not making the $400 a month payment, go to WalserBuysCars.com. If you know your license plate number, type that into the search bar, and then answer about probably 10 questions, hit submit, and you will get an offer on your car just that quickly. We do need to do a physical appraisal at some point, but it takes usually 5 minutes, and we are trying to find ways to buy cars, not prevent people from selling them to us. So go to WalserBuysCars.com for more exciting information. Boys and girls.
Walser Automotive Group, Walser.com. Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us, you know?
And that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Mike Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a community bank based right here in the Twin Cities, we believe in taking the time to get to know our customers and their businesses.
And part of that is hiring and cultivating a team of experienced lenders. When your business banks with us, you're not training in a new, inexperienced banker.
In fact, our bankers have worked with many of the same customers for years, earning their trust. We get to know you and your business, and you get to know and rely upon us.
When your business is looking to capitalize on an opportunity or solve a problem, we'll be here to help you.
Tom here. I know Brad and Mike, and I trust that with my banking, they've personally delivered on everything they've just said. So why not bank with my banker, North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. We are back, ladies and gentlemen, our special guests at Bogart's tonight, as a matter of fact. Kevin Farley and Gail Becquar, how you doing? Kevin, Gail, how are things?
Great. Dave, doing great. Thank you.
Marvelous. Great having you both. My son, Andy, genius that he is, because he knows he won't let me even anywhere near, like, keyboards, things like that to get people on the air. So, you know, this has worked out rather well.
I figured out how to call two people on Skype.
There you go.
It's very... Highlight of my career.
Who needs eighth grade?
Yeah, who did? I didn't, I guarantee you that. And I really didn't need 10th, 11th, or 12th grade either, because I learned. Well, see, the problem is, and maybe you guys can understand this, I went to Catholic school from 12th to 8th grade, so by the time I got to public school, I already learned that in like 4th and 5th grade.
was one of those deals. I mean, that's a true story, too. It was the same exact stuff they taught in 10th grade in high school, at public school. We learned in, like, 4th grade. Mm. Whatever. In any case, Kevin Farley and Gail Becquar at Bogart's tonight. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Comedy starts at 8 o'clock with Gail hitting the stage, followed by headliner Kevin Farley. They've got tables, which is a great idea. They're going to meet all the requirements. But now, Kevin and Gail, Doug Sprinthal, who's on the show with us, says that they're going to make... The governor might be making some announcements and easing up on those restrictions.
Yeah, this is in the Strib right now, the local paper. The first step on it'll be Friday. Darn it.
Friday.
We'll eliminate... they're going to open up almost everything. Right now, bars are closing in Minnesota at, 10:30 or 11?
10:30 or 11, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to... So.
Oh, is that what that rule's about?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So that'll go away Friday, and then I think everything will be gone by the 1st of June. So.
The one thing I did notice, which I thought was really odd, is he said that you don't have to wear masks anymore unless your names are Kevin and Gail. And so the timing has not been good for you guys. I just want you to know. So how have you been? Has everything been great?
Yeah, well, no, it's been pretty awful, you know, for the last year. You know, I mean, I can't say it's been great. We've been just starting to get back on the, you know, just beginning to get back in sort of normal world, you know. But, it's been a rough year, I think, for comics.
Yeah, that is very true. Well, actors, comics, musicians, obviously. And I guess anybody who likes to perform on stage, it was pretty much not a great year.
I think the toughest people were the road crews because, you know, actors and musicians, you could at least find some work.
Yeah.
But the people that did all the support work, nobody's going to want to watch a live stream of somebody hanging lights, right?
No,
you're not going to get any money for that.
That's probably true. Yeah, that's true. I didn't even thought about road crews, man. Road crews are really suffering, man.
Big time.
Yeah. So now everything is...
It's been a rough year.
Oh, yeah. So what did you? So how did you handle it? You sit around. You love to go on stage. You both love to hit the stage and make people laugh, entertain people. That's got to be tough. I mean, I sit and BS on the radio. It's not that big a deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I taught acting classes. You know, but I tried to limit I tried to limit my class. You know, and spread out the class pretty much. But I would do that, or I'd do Zoom shows. You know, I do some of those, but those are terrible, absolutely terrible.
Those are terrible. But so you liked them a lot, it sounds like. You had a good time, you know. No, I understand.
Well, the paycheck, it was a nice paycheck, but the comedy doesn't translate, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't be like watching comedy on television even. It'd be a little odder than that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because sometimes the Zoom goes out, and then, you know, it's just like there's just some delay there, you know, like a delay, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
No, I understand. I spent a while in Florida in the winter, and I was doing the morning show and this show from down there. And on this show, there was about a one-second delay. It was hideous because I used to be a singer when I was younger, so I sing along to the music. And I guess... Andy and Doug were telling me that I was only off by a full second, which sounded horrendous.
Yeah, Doug's were howling. Count to four. Dogs, what's wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That'll work out in the end. So, Gail, tell me a little about yourself, Gail. What's it all about?
Well, yeah, Kevin's talking about Zoom. My dad was a magician. I grew up doing magic as a kid, so... I have done a couple magic stuff over Zoom, and it's tough there. At least you have the visual. I could do a couple shows. I did a couple shows in the summertime outdoors. But it was rough for everybody. Growing up in a family of magicians was kind of strange. I have three sisters, and I was the only boy, and Mom names me Gail. I don't know what the heck that was all about.
That's a good Gail Sayers, baby. That's all you need to know is Gail Sayers.
Oh, you remember Gail Sayers.
Oh,
the kids
today
don't remember him. There was a basketball player named Gail Goodrich, too, for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes, sir.
So, but I always tell people I wasn't going to get into magic, but my three older sisters make $100 a trick. I figure, why can't I? So,
That's cold, Gail. That's cold.
It is cold.
It's funny.
They're not that good. They don't make that much.
Andy, it's not a magic trick he's talking about.
Oh.
Oh.
So have your sisters heard that joke?
Yeah, one teaches at a religious school. So
God. So it's pretty smooth at the Thanksgiving, huh? It goes pretty smoothly. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah,
I would imagine. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting that you guys working together, because obviously Kevin from a very famous family of entertainers, you from a famous family of entertainers, magicians, the whole shooting match. So how did you guys get to know one another?
On the road,
well, I met on the road. Yeah, we did a show in Nebraska, and then another one in Fountain, Minnesota, and this is our third time together. I tell people, and I don't know if Kevin saw this, but this is like a 3-day tour, but I'm a little thin, kind of look like Gilligan, and no offense, Kevin, he's a little bigger, looks like Skipper. It should be a 3-hour tour, that's what I say, so anyway.
That works for me. Hey, nothing wrong with guys that look like Skipper, baby. That's all I got to say.
Are you a Skipper guy?
I used to be a Skipper guy. I'm more now like... I put a few years on, so I'm more like the millionaire and his wife. That's there you go. Not the money part, just the age part.
Yeah. Marianne just passed away, didn't she?
Yeah. She did.
A couple months ago.
Sweetheart of a woman. I don't know if you ever met her, but she was just a really terrifically sweet woman. Oh, God, she was very nice. Oh.
You guys want to feel really old?
Okay, here we go.
You watched The Rifleman when you were a kid, right?
Well, of course, yeah.
Remember his son, Mark?
Sure.
Yeah, he died last week. He was 75.
Huh. He died?
Yeah.
Mark, what was his name?
I can't remember his last name. But he was 75 years old. In my mind, he's still nine.
Well,
right?
Yeah, exactly. My God.
Mark McCain. The Rifleman, it's a great show.
It was a great show, The Rifleman. I wish I could just, you know what I'd like to do? I grew up in Minneapolis. So what I'd like to do is go through my old neighborhood with a repeating rifle and see how that works. Yeah, he did. Why can't I do it?
Do you know he was the first NBA player to shatter a backboard?
He was, yeah. Yeah,
Chuck like the Connors. Late 40s.
Chuck Connors was shattered a backboard, yep.
He did? I didn't know he was an NBA player.
Wow. Yeah, well, he played baseball, too. You know, back then, a lot of the good guys had to play two sports because there was no money in it. I think he played for Chicago as well, the Cubs.
Oh, wow. Great athlete.
Yeah. Johnny Crawford is who died, by the
Johnny Crawford died last week at 75.
75 years old.
It's a little young to be dying these days, isn't it?
Fairly, I'd say.
Well, what's his name just died, too?
He had Alzheimer's.
Jesus, that's terrible.
That'll do it.
Depressed everybody.
Not a guy from Blow.
This is a wonderful conversation.
You know, hey, make me laugh, will you guys? Come on, with all the cheerfulness we're bringing you. I mean, you know, we're all cheered up and ready to go.
What do you guys do for hemorrhoids?
I'm going to commit suicide after this.
Kevin just killed himself. But other than that,
what better way to pick yourself up than go to a comedy show
then,
at 8 p.m.?
Well, I do have to ask you guys, is it a little scary going back on stage doing comedy, since every word in the English language now is offensive
to
somebody?
True.
How do you guys get around that?
I mean, you just plow forward and hope for the best. Like any comedian, I think you just got to keep going and then take your hits as they come. They're going to come. So, you know, you just take your hits as they come. Just hope, like, that offensive thing that you said was at least funny enough to make some people laugh. You know?
They're playing at Bogart's in Apple Valley. You can just do all dick jokes and you'll be fine there.
well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. So you're a fan of this place.
I've been there it's about probably 8 miles from my house. I've been there a few times. They don't have a lot of comedy shows there. It's more known for live bands and stuff, but they just opened up the club again, I think, 3 weeks ago or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
Hey, the more comedy, the better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every comedian in the world right now is like, Siberia? Sure.
I'll take anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really concerned about it because I've been on the air for so many years now. If I get canceled, it's like finally I broke free. But
the sweet release of death.
The sweet release of death, you know, that kind of deal. But yeah, I know a lot of people are very, very concerned about saying anything. I mean, they fired a guy on a morning show in Buffalo because he compared a couple of women's skin color to toast. What? Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But toast is delicious.
He said, I like women who look like dark toast. And they fired him for saying that.
I fired him just because it's a weird thing to say.
Well, it is a weird thing to say. That's true. But he is a disc jockey, so, you know,
that's also true.
That's what disc jockeys do. They, wait a minute, I just took a shot at myself there. I probably shouldn't have done that. But, but yeah, it's got to be a little, I don't, you guys are probably not intimidated by it. You do what you do. And you, actually, you know, Kevin, when we heard you guys were going to be on today, I was kind of happy about it because you tend to be kind of a, you know, to lean pretty positive anyway.
Yeah.
Which, thank God, in this world, I hate you. Oh, do you? Why don't you calm down there, pal? That's going to help you, isn't it? That's going to help you guys a lot, I would imagine, isn't it? Being more positive about things.
I also just don't look at myself as being part of Hollywood. I'm so far out of the... I don't even... Like, I don't think Hollywood knows who I am. I mean, I just think that I just do my shows, and I'm so far out of that loop, you know, that I don't think, even if I did say anything, they'd be like, hey, don't bother with that guy.
Oh, man, I don't know about that.
I mean, I'm not even on anybody's radar, so it's kind of like, I don't know. I'm not really afraid of it. I mean, I just don't feel like I'm part of the... What are you going to cancel me from? I mean, I don't know.
Well, hold on.
I mean, I don't know. I just do my shows, but... You can't really take anything away from a guy that doesn't really have anything. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Kevin, I mean, you do know that there are a few people in the world that know who the Farley family are, I'm assuming.
Right. Yeah, but then I don't have a show. I don't have a – I just do my live shows, you know, and I don't have a – I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I'd be canceled from, you know. I don't know.
I suppose.
I just do my shows. You can come after me, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, that stuff's been going on for years. People think that's a really new deal, but that stuff's been going on for years. If you got out of line with somebody or whatever and they could convince, ever since digital appeared, what was that? You know, like when people started going on Twitter and Facebook, was that, what, like 15 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, if.
Maybe not even 15 years ago. I noticed right away when people started going on Twitter and Facebook, I didn't know this, and it was kind of nice because they said, you should go on that Facebook and Twitter because people, you know, they're pretty open about themselves. And I went on Twitter and Facebook and found out that day what a prick I am, which I never knew.
Really?
Yeah, I thought I was a great guy.
And we all did. I guess nobody told you.
Yeah, nobody told me until I went on Twitter and Facebook. Oh, how disgusting and horrible I really am.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, there's always somebody out there that'll hate you. You know, no doubt.
Which is pretty.
Oh yeah. Have, gosh, and I know if you have kids. Do you have kids? Because I got two 20-year-old twin daughters, and they'll let you know if you're out of line or not politically correct. That's for sure.
Well, luckily, my son Andy is the engineer on this show, so I'm with him pretty much every day. Oh. And my daughter Alex appears on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays. So yes, I am kept in line. Like, my God, Dad, really? Yeah, I get a lot of that. I do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I work a lot of colleges and conventions and obviously comedy clubs. And you're right about being PC. You have to be so politically correct.
Yeah.
Even more so. At colleges and at clubs, but like Kevin said, you just kind of plow through it, and just if they groan or ooh or ah, just continue on and just act like you know you meant to say it and don't acknowledge it. That's what I don't do. But
can I just very quickly? I can't even remember who it was, and I apologize. This is just a 60-second story, I promise. We had a kid in studio years ago, came in to do the show, stand-up comedian, really, really nice guy. But I asked him the worst moment of his comedy career because he was talking about how tough it was to do this, that, and this is a couple of years ago. But he said he was appearing at a college out on the East Coast. He wouldn't say which one it was, but I'm sure it was one of the, you know, big shot colleges. And they were in the auditorium. The auditorium was full, and somehow the air conditioning in the middle of summer broke. So in order to get a little circulation, they opened up the windows. And he said the problem with that was when he would tell a joke that nobody laughed at, all you could hear were the crickets outside.
That's funny.
How great is that? You tell a joke, nobody responds. That's real nice. Isn't that just
it was terrific? Mitch Hedberg's last gig.
Yeah, probably Mitch Hedberg. That's probably who it was exactly, his last show. I don't know. See, for me, both of you, I mean, seriously, to have you guys back on the road again, to be appearing in clubs, there's a sign that maybe we're getting back to normal. I actually ate Cinco de Mayo celebration dinner last night with my daughter, her two kids, her husband, and my wife at a restaurant, sitting down at a booth. Can you believe it? How exciting.
They have booths at Arby's?
Yeah, Arby's. I sat in a booth at Arby's. It was unbelievable. No, it was so nice. And to go and see you guys, you know, tonight, it's going to be a thrill for people because they can sit down, they can have a few laughs and get away from... I don't know how anybody watches the TV news anymore, particularly the national news. My God, those people are crabby. What the hell is that? Oh, Jesus.
They are crabby. They are super crabby.
It's true.
I don't know who uses the word crabby anymore, but yeah, that is funny.
Yeah, crabby bastard. I love that.
You crabby. You big crab.
What are you so crabby about? You're right. Nobody says crabby anymore, do they?
Nobody says crabby anymore. I haven't heard it in a while. But they are crabby, though. They're really crabby.
They are.
I think that... Yeah, but our audiences, I think, are going to be happy because they've been so crabby just in their house. So.
You're not going to let that go, are you?
No, I love it. I love that word. I'm going to use it.
That's a great word.
No, it's a great word. I think it's. I think they are ready to come out and have a good time. They're just been cooped up in their house or wearing a mask, and I think they're tired of it all.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's probably true. Can I ask you guys one question? This is kind of maybe a weird question, but it fascinates me, particularly because you both grew up in entertaining families, most definitely. Was there one thing that triggered both of you to do comedy? I was talking to Tom Dreesen this morning. I've known Tom for years, just a great guy. I don't know if you guys ever met him or worked with him or not, but he's a really, really decent guy, and he was on this morning.
Yeah, good guy.
He is a really nice guy. And we were just talking about how you started doing comedy. Do you remember? Now, in your family, Kevin, and in your family also, you know, Gail, with entertainment, did it just come naturally to you guys? Or was there a point where you said, I want to make people laugh? What drove you to do it?
Go ahead. Well, for me, it was just being, you know, bored, I think. I was bored. I think comedy's comes from boredom, and I think you know, we were hanging out or whatever just in school, and you know, there were a bunch of friends of mine that who was the funniest guy and who could make us all laugh, you know, and it was this competition ever since I was young, even in my own family, or amongst my friends, who's the guy that's going to make us all laugh, you know, and it was more of a competition, like and the guy that won that competition was like the most popular guy, you know? And
right.
So it was like this, it was a pretty intense competition to get everybody to laugh in our circle of friends or even in my family, you know? So it was kind of natural that way. And it stems out of boredom, out of sheer boredom, going to Catholic school and being regimented.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, just always being regimented, always being like, you know, under some sort of oppression, I guess. I don't know. But it came from that, just being really, really bored and somebody make me laugh here, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, for me as a child, I grew up, my dad was a magician, so I was jumping out of boxes and he would pay us a dollar, my sister and I, and the two sisters, to help him out, and then we saw that he was making $250, and we're going, what is this, a sweatshop, you know? I mean, we only get a dollar, and anyway.
Yes, it is a sweatshop.
And I never wanted to be a magician. I went into college, wanted to do what you guys are doing. I wanted to be in broadcasting and advertising, and just entered a dormitory contest because of the college roommates I had. They saw me do a card trick and they go, where'd you learn this? I said, oh, my dad's a magician. I grew up doing magic. And so at the end of my freshman year, I just entered this thing. I won one of the $15 prizes and got interviewed by the campus newspaper and start doing some shows. And then you realize that you're funny with the magic. That's what, you know, I didn't realize that the comedy was starting to take over. At first it was like, basically 80% magic and 20% comedy. And now it's, the comedy is actually even stronger than the magic in my show. I think it's, I only do four tricks in an hour's time, and or in 45 minutes time, usually five tricks in an hour. And we're, and who I got the chance to meet about 6-7 years ago, unfortunately we lost him a couple years ago, was Harry Anderson. You know, Harry Anderson,
sure.
The comedian magician, he only would do three tricks, and we talked for a couple hours. Yeah, when at one of his performance, and I was at that show, and had done a little bit of time before him, and he was kind of been nicer. He just came from the Magic Castle performing there in Hollywood,
sure.
And so yeah, that's how I kind of got started. And it, you do kind of bite the bug, and I never cared for the magic that I saw on TV, but Harry Anderson, Penn and Teller, you know, they kind of changed it and made it kind of more, not so much, you know. When I first started, when if you told people that a magician was coming out on stage, it was like telling people it was going to be a mime. You know, there was nobody wanted to see a magician. Now because of America's Got Talent, David Blaine,
yeah,
Chris Angel,
yeah,
now it's popular again. It's so strange, but yeah, I do a combination of my show, so that's how I got, and I enjoy it. Obviously, you know, I wouldn't be doing it, and I have missed it this last year.
No, no question. The reason I asked you that question, and you both, I appreciate your answers, is this morning Tom Dreesen said that he has asked pretty much every comedian he's ever met, did your father ever hug you? Did he ever tell you he loved you? And did he support your career? And he has yet to meet a comedian that said yes, yes, and yes. It has not happened yet. Yeah, apparently dads.
No.
Fathers of comedians don't say I love you very much. Apparently that doesn't happen all that often.
No, I think
Tom's dad funny? I mean,
same story, actually. Dreesen's father kind of shunned him. The reason it even came up, he was asking me about it myself, and I said, well, I never got along with my father at all. The way I described that is when I was a little boy, I lost every fist fight I ever had with him. You know, so we didn't get along all that well. And then, you know, the only time he was ever happy, I would literally turn off the television, 7-8 years old, and tell him jokes I had heard on Ed Sullivan. That's the only way he was ever happy with me. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. No, I think that is what a lot of my friends are comedians, that they're always trying to make their dad laugh.
Yep.
Know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that does come from that. I mean, I think in my family, too, my dad, he wasn't we didn't have a contentious relationship. But I just think it was things were a lot easier when he was in a better mood and he was laughing, you know.
Yeah, no question. Can you guys do a couple more minutes? Can I take a break and come back? Do you have a few more minutes?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, excellent. We'll be right back in just a few minutes with Kevin and Gail. Right back. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. Well, he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and outdoor all day long. Made with My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable, you'll want to get some for the whole family, which is what we did. Call 1-800-516-5146 or use promo code Tom, of course. 1-800-516-5146. Use promo code Tom or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Tom. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, and MyPillow towel sets. Call 1-800-516-5146. Use promo code Tom. Dan Chesky is here from Dan's Southside Marine to talk boats in February.
2021 is all about boat inventory or the lack thereof. Dan's has what you're looking for in the color and model you want. So get in and take advantage of the factory incentives and discounts February offers.
Why should our listeners shop for a fishing boat at Dan Southside Marine?
We have the latest models on display, like the new Revolution. It features rotational seating from Premier Marine and the new Alumacraft FSX crossover fishing ski. Both are getting tons of attention and grabbing sales from the competition.
Dan's Southside Marine is packed with pontoons from Avalon, Berkshire, and Premier. With all the rebates and incentives we mentioned at the top, get the family out this weekend and come see these amazing pontoons.
And be sure to ask about custom-rigged Alumacraft fishing boats this weekend at Dan's Southside Marine during our February open house.
Dan's Southside Marine, 6 blocks west of 35W on 98th Street in Bloomington. Shop online at danssouthsidemarine.com.
There are definitely things to avoid during a Minnesota winter, like licking a flagpole or waiting too long to replace that car battery. But number one on the list is taking a chance on your furnace. Hey, Tom here for Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, reminding you that a furnace clean and tune will improve efficiency, reliability, and peace of mind. Or maybe it's time to take advantage of Sabre's rebates and upgrade to an energy-efficient Bryant system. Don't take chances on your comfort. Visit SabreHeating.com. Sabre and Bryant. Whatever it takes.
Andy, could you turn her headphones on? We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Farley and Gail Beckwar with us, ladies and gentlemen. They will be at Bogart's tonight. As a matter of fact, doors open at 6 o'clock. They've got the tables all set up because that's the way they want to get it done. Now, Doug Sprinthal here with us. He announced that they're going to be relaxing a lot of the restrictions because of COVID, but they're not. They're going to wait until Kevin and Gail leave town, and then they're going to do it.
Ha ha.
That's pretty. Yeah, it's tomorrow. It's not tonight. That's kind of sad.
That's a bummer.
I know. You missed it.
11 o'clock's okay for comedy, right? You don't want to be doing stand-up in front of people that are totally hammered at 1 in the morning. That's never any fun.
People have asked me what was my worst. That's exactly right. I had to perform one time at midnight in Cancun, Mexico. They had everybody sit down. They said, okay, now we're going to do a comedy show. You talk about, you know, just a terrible show. You know, people, you're right, you're drunk, and they didn't tell me they didn't speak English, you know. They thought I was
it wasn't the American 20-year-olds throwing up margaritas from Senior Frogs.
Yeah, I they introduced me in Spanish, I'm not kidding you, and I go, how many people speak English? And they go, oh, 20, and there's like 500 people out there.
Oh, God.
And I have my little briefcase, and they go, hey, where's all your magic props? I go, this is it. I'm a comedian magician, not a magician. And so I talk about bombing, but then also the hotel, the thing was so nice, and you know, people always ask, what's the best place and worst place you've entertained? I go, I can answer that in one question, Cancun, Mexico, on New Year's Eve.
You know? There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, we all get a chance to work different places, and it's funny how sometimes you're working for somebody, working like I was telling Harry Anderson. I remember Rodney Carrington was just getting started in Oklahoma, and he was an MC, and I remember him introducing me, and I was working, and I don't know if you know Kevin, there was a guy named Spike Rizzo. I don't know if he's still doing comedy. Spike was the feature, I was the headliner, and we're both going, well, this kid will never make it with the guitar. You know, he swears too much. And, you know, and who knew that you just never know who you're going to meet on the way up or on the way down. And, of course, he makes big time. Yeah.
How did you survive doing comedy for 95% of the people who don't speak your language? That had to be really uncomfortable.
It's time to open with a dime trick.
And I'm just going, yeah, it's not easy. But, It was tough.
I have a question. Did you, just to be a smartass, just once in a while, just throw in a Spanish word for the hell of it? that would have been fun.
I did. I tell people I felt like Davy Crockett at the Alamo. You know, I was getting killed.
Well, I suppose, yes.
There was actually, the next day on the beach, I was with my wife, and it was beautiful, just gorgeous, and when you bomb, you don't want to be recognized. And this guy comes up to me and he goes, hey, you're the magician from last night. I go, oh, crap. And I go, yeah. And he goes, because I'm from Los Angeles. There's a comedy magic club out there. You got to get out there. And I said, yeah, I've worked out there a couple of times. He goes, I don't know how you did it, you know, with the people not speaking English and everything. It was tough. So, well, Kevin, have you done shows where they've been totally drunk and didn't speak any the language?
Yeah, I just did one. In fact, I went, and after I finished my show, I went to the bar just to get a Coke because I don't drink anymore. But I sat at the bar, and there's a guy next to me complaining to his friend, did you see that guy? That comedian was terrible. And then Whoops. And he's literally going off about me, just going, that's ridiculous. That was the worst entertainment I've ever heard. And then I'm like, literally right next to him.
It's tough when the family shows up to your shows.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But and I remember like, Cancun.
Go ahead, Kevin.
No, he just saw me, and I'm like, hey. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, he was just all embarrassed. I'm like, oh, God, I got to get out of here.
He should be left.
I was just going to add to that Cancun story. My wife and I, at the end of the – and I did a whole week there, and they advertised it as English-speaking comedy. Actually, one guy – the next day was translating for me, and I said, boy, I sure could have used you on New Year's Eve. And, of course, it's midnight. Nobody wants to sit down and see comedy. Like you said, 11 o'clock, it's almost midnight's too late anyway to do comedy. But at the end of the week, my wife and I went to another Cancun bar, and it was all people there, Spanish. And the band on stage said a joke in Spanish, and everybody laughed, Cindy and I at the bar, and I'm thinking, wow. Now I know exactly how the audience felt on New Year's Eve with me.
Couldn't understand the damn joke, man.
Yeah.
Why would they have done that? Here's what I don't understand. If they know they're going to load it up with Spanish-speaking people, why did they do that to you?
I don't know. The Flaming Idiots, they were a juggling troupe, and they went on, did like 20, 30 minutes in front of me, and it's visual. They weren't talking. I'm backstage going, they're not talking. I've seen them on The Tonight Show. They're very funny, and... then when they introduced me at 12:30 in Spanish, I understood why. So, but
how do you say 12:30 in Spanish?
I'm sure they thought I was more visual than I was. It was probably a booking problem.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So, still, it was just too late to do comedy. It didn't matter if they did speak English. It's just, and especially on New Year's Eve, people want to dance at midnight, not sit down.
No, that's true. Yeah. That's a very good point. They probably do want to start dancing and making a little physical contact because they have certain things in mind. You're probably right. You're probably right about that. That's probably exactly how it works. I don't know. I'm just excited again. If you weren't here for the first segment, I'm excited that we have live entertainment. You can go out to dinner and have dinner. You can go see comedians. Maybe someday you can go see a show. That'd be nice. But, yeah, to have you guys back on stage, it's a sign of maybe summer is coming and maybe summer will be able to live like human beings again instead of being, running scared from everything. And it's been a tough 14 months, no question about it, no doubt about it. So it's nice to have you guys back, no doubt. I hope you guys
I love live entertainment, and I love live entertainment, and I think people love live entertainment. So I'm glad to see it come back, too. I'm glad to be back out on the road.
I'm kind of surprised you guys did.
Kevin,
go ahead, sir.
I was going to ask Kevin, how was it in Las Vegas? You said you did a show last week in Las Vegas, Kevin. How was it there?
Well, it was great because I think people were just, that was the first show back in at the Plaza in Las Vegas, and I was the first show, and people were just ecstatic. They were just happy to be. I mean, I asked a few people, and it's the first time they'd been out at all, so they're just like, I think, really underestimate how many people have been quarantined and they're scared to death of this disease. And there's a lot of people that just haven't left the house. So they were like, I'm just glad to be here. They were just thrilled to be out,
Yeah, there's no question. Yeah. We're all going to be thrilled to be out. So next time you come to town, maybe you can come in studio, come in to do the morning show. It'd be great to have you both in studio. I'd love it.
I'd love it too. I like coming in and saying hello to you guys for sure.
No, it'll be terrific to see you again, Kevin and Gail. Thank you so much for your time today. Good luck tonight. Doors open at 6 o'clock at Bogart's, ladies and gentlemen. Doug, you gonna go?
Beautiful Apple Valley. No, Cassie said she could get me tickets, and I've got stuff going on with Sarah's family tonight.
Way to go.
Way to go, right. What happened to the ticket giveaway or whatever?
Oh, that's right. We do have two pairs of tickets.
Yeah.
But, we got another hour and a half of the show to do.
It's no big deal. Nobody listens to this anyway. This is just therapy for Tom. We're not actually hooked up to the internet.
Yes, we don't even broadcast. There's no question about that. So, yes, we will we'll get that done, as a matter of fact. Mr. Farley, Mr. Beckwar, thank you very much for your time today. Great having you on. Have a good day, sir. And sirs.
Thank you.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, Andy. So how do we do the ticket giveaway?
That's an excellent question because I'm not in charge of that. I just know it exists because Mom said so.
Because mom said so?
Yeah.
Any idea how many tickets that you have?
I think she said we have two pairs.
All right, let's take caller 47.
Caller 47.
That might take a while.
We'll be Andy's here at 6 o'clock at night. Yeah. Right? You know.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm guessing this is something we should probably do on social media since none of us know about it and the show's almost over. So
what show's almost over?
This show.
No, it's not.
We got 10 minutes.
Well, or we could do it in Car Selling Secrets, too.
We could, but I'll text Cassie and I'll see if she has anything.
Yeah, get it done on social media. That'd be the way to do it. But, yeah, I've always liked Kevin Farley. Gail seemed like a hell of a nice guy. That was good. But I just, the Farley family, they're all really pretty decent people. They tend to be anyway. You know what I mean?
There really is no worse feeling as a performer for the wrong audience for the right performance.
Oh, God. But why, as a club owner, would you? We're going to put an English-speaking comedian up in front of Spanish people.
Why would you ever do that?
Years ago, I don't even know if Sarah and I were married, but the church that she works at down in Hastings used to have a big, I think it was a summer festival. It was a big fundraiser for the church, and it was wildly popular. And we played a couple of years outside. Well, this particular year, the weather was terrible. It was like 45 and raining, and they're like, well, come on. And
so
you can
like
play
every
in
day
the,
this month so far.
Play in the fellowship hall. I'm like, we're a rock band. I don't know. Oh, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. The only people that showed up were the Knights of Columbus. The Knights of Columbus, the young ones are like 80, and they all have hearing aids in, and they're just yelling at us. It's just miserable. We didn't even turn stuff on, and we were too loud.
Well, that's good news. The hearing aids are working.
Yeah,
so
no, that's
good.
Right. Yeah, it was just, it doesn't mean that they're bad people. The Knights do fabulous work for the community. It's just that, we just shouldn't have done it.
Why? Well, they probably loved it.
No, they hated it. All they did was complain because it was too loud.
Oh, seriously.
God. And we were not a loud band. I mean,
I cannot believe that people would bitch because it was too loud.
And it's funny because I used to play a lot, and I kind of gave it up other than jams and stuff when my son was born. So I was out of it for about 15 years. And then when Sarah and I started playing together, when I was younger, if there was somebody that was 60 or 65 in the audience, I'm like, oh, God, they're going to just be crabby and terrible. Well, what had happened was now I was closer to their age, and in between sets, they'd go,
right,
you guys are really good. Have you ever thought about doing some traffic tunes? I'm like, yeah, it's actually a pretty good idea. So I learned not to be scared of old people.
Not to be scared of old people?
You know what I mean.
People?
It's when you're a young guy playing in rock bands, you get, back when I was younger, you'd get the stink eye from people all the time.
I only did at Dairy Queen. That's the only time I ever got the stink eye from old people, at Dairy Queen.
Really?
I remember one time I was 15 years old. We're at the Dairy Queen on Washburn and West Broadway in North Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And we're 15 years old, so we're running our mouths, this and the other thing, and, dropping the F-bomb and the whole deal. Mm-hmm. There are three of us, and two of them were 17, and I was 15. The two guys with me were older than me. And we're sitting there, and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, this guy gets up, and he walks over to the table, and he leans forward, and he goes, boys, you see that table over there with that woman and those two little kids? That's my family. And if I hear one of you swear again, I'm going to beat the piss out of all three of you. I'm like, whoa, okay, sir, I guess we just got the message. I will never forget that as long as I do. And I was convinced he probably wouldn't have had much of a problem with it either. Three guys on one, I don't think it would have mattered. Yeah, he was not happy with that swearing in front of his kids deal, which I understand.
I totally get that. I would not be impressed by that at all. And I see people do that in public all the time. And it's just like, God. And I like to swear. It's kind of fun, but
I actually see people dropping the F-bomb in front of their little kids now.
Oh, I know.
Which shocks the hell out of me. You're dropping the F-bomb in front of a 5-6-year-old? What are you doing? What do you think? And then, of course, when the kid says, oh, you can't say that.
Right.
Well, you did.
Yeah, where do you think they learned it?
Hey, you can hop on now.
Yeah, you can just.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Introduce your guest, which is going to be your guest.
You introduce her. I'll introduce her in my show. She can introduce herself in yours. How's that?
Yes, there you go.
Hi, my name is Mary Valine. I'm with the Auto Show to talk about that a little bit on the next podcast.
I have to ask you, because I've been a fan for years, are you related to Bobby Valine?
I am. That's my father-in-law.
What?
Yeah. So you're talking about old people, and I'm married to a musician, so his son is a full-time musician. So
I love that guy.
Came up through the ranks, yeah.
How cool and is that?
Had a lot of people tell him to turn it down. He didn't like that either. Yeah, so Bobby V.
Bobby V is your father-in-law.
It sure is.
God, what a great singer.
Yeah, yeah, we miss him terribly. He passed away in 2015.
That's right, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
He lives in Fargo, didn't he?
He was started in Fargo. You know, that's how he got his start in the business. It's
right.
It's the best story. Okay. Buddy Holly was trying to get from Clearwater.
Yep.
And they flipped a coin, and Buddy Holly and Richie Valens and the Big Bopper ended up in the plane, and the rest drove.
Yep.
And so this is back in the, you know, the day before phones.
Yep.
So the bands show up, and the producer's like, you know, the ballroom is like, where's the lead singer? So he called this local guy, Bobby Valine at the time, and said, look, I've got the crickets, but I don't have Buddy Holly. Can you fill in?
I've got the – well, that was Waylon Jennings, right? He was one of the crickets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he was the bass player, I think.
Yep.
Exactly.
God, so what a coincidence
story.
That is.
Yeah.
Do many people ask you if you're related to Bobby Valine? Because they don't know his name, really.
No, exactly. Yeah, so I'm glad you asked, but I'm glad you know because you're a music guy, but – you know, sometimes, not as much as I would guess. It's Bobby V for most people.
They just don't know. Yeah, they don't know his name was Valine.
Yeah.
Ah, God, what a great, serious. I'm glad I didn't say, well, Bobby Valine sucked. I hope you're not related. I'm glad I said,
have much tact, but you have some. You would never.
Well, no, but
have
I did. I thought Bobby V could sing. Oh, yeah. Man, he could sing. Great singer.
He's a great singer. Yep, yep. And I'd argued it out with you.
We had argued the whole time. What a great thing. You must have known
that. Yeah, I did.
See, he didn't mention that to me either.
Well, I just thought we'd discover stuff.
You tried to trick me into saying something negative about her family. I can see it in your eyes.
God, you're miserable.
So now, how do you guys know one another?
Well, through MADA.
Right.
Yep. Yep, he's the king of selling cars, and Walzer is a big deal here in the Twin Cities. So
please don't call him.
I'm not the king of selling cars. Mary, stop.
Well, you think you got all the secrets? I would hope you got them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that. We'll talk about all the events that are coming up during your show. But I just wanted to know. So she puts up with you. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, we don't. We do stuff usually around the auto show every year. So she's the one. You know, Scott takes all the credit because he's the president.
Yeah, tough guy when he's
not
here,
right?
You know,
he's got the throne and the cape, and he makes people, like, kneel and stuff. But Mary's the one that does the actual work.
Oh, so you're the one that does all the work.
You know, that's my boss. So I'll no, it's all Scott. I'm just here to fill in today. No.
Well, I told Candace on the air today to book Scott.
Okay, good.
Week.
And I think I sent you his information.
You did, yeah.
Okay.
So she needs to get him because I think we can explain a little what's going on this show and then the car.
Sure, whatever. They all blend in. There's really not two separate audiences. They just listen.
No,
to the
that's
whole.
True. They all. That's true.
Generally,
that's
true. Yeah.
Generally, that's true.
Well, the Car Selling Secrets does actually do quite well. Generally speaking.
Well, it does.
Well, it does.
No, he's happy
you.
For
that's
you.
That's good.
Why? You can't, he can't be happy for you because
no,
you
no,
do
that's
well?
Fine. I'm just teasing.
God, this guy. Nothing but trouble. Anyway.
We actually have a question from the chat. So there's a company that puts together food truck festivals, and they're having one in Hutchinson in summer, and they want some recommendations for some local bands to contact to play.
Ooh.
Hmm.
I figured you'd be the one.
Robbie V.
Robbie V.
There you go.
Yep, Robbie V at RobbieV.com. There you go.
There's one.
There's my selfish
plug. Well, ask them what kind of music they like.
That's a good question.
Oh, Doug.
Focus. You want to hear some polkas?
Mike just need a polka.
Disco all the time.
Oh, disco. That'd be good. How about, like, you know, vile rap? What if that's what they want?
Vile? Specifically vile.
Specifically vile
rap. Not just normal rap.
There's so many bands out there that are just itching to get out and play.
Oh, God,
I'm sure.
You could put something on Craigslist and you'd be answering the phone 24/7. Mm-hmm. There's,
I bet. Yeah,
and it's so funny. They're all, you know, all my musician buddies are like, God, I haven't done a gig in a year. And I got to get the rust off. I don't remember how to do it. It's just walk up and sing into the thing with a ball on the end and strum the guitar. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that's true. No, we went up to the Barrio 50th for Cinco de Mayo last night. It was a ball. Just to sit in a restaurant with
fun.
People eating.
Yep.
God, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kim, the new general manager, she comes by. She goes by and she goes, Mr. Bernard? I said, yes. She goes, I'm going to be your new favorite general manager.
You got to like her.
Oh, she's terrific. Yeah, she does a terrific job. Really good people over there. And our server last night, I recognized him, but I didn't think he recognized me, but he did. And he tells my wife and my daughter, you know, I used to caddy for your husband when I was a teenager. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And then, of course, he went, my wife goes, God, that must have been horrible. And she goes, no, we had a great time. I love caddying for him. She goes, yeah, right. Thanks, honey. Thanks for all your support.
Your Mother's Day is right around the corner.
Oh, she already got her Mother's Day gift and my Father's Day gift and our anniversary gift. She's having a new door put on the back of the house.
Oh, you know, wow. Is that,
you know how much doors are now?
A door?
Oh, God, yeah. A nice door? God. Yeah.
Why don't you get her an exercise bike to go with
She's
it?
Already got one. She's already
that was
got
last
one.
Mother's Day?
The yeah. door is probably more than the exercise bike, if I had to guess.
Oh, about four times more.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really nice doors. Yeah, even like we got a new door, a new front door for our house, and I wouldn't call it like super high end, but it was probably, you know, medium range. And yeah, it's a couple $1,000s right there for one door.
You know how many days there are in like 3 years, right?
About 1,000.
Okay,
about
we'll take that many of those.
Ooh.
For a oh. door.
Yeah, that's about right, I'd say.
For a door.
Was it, is it solid wood?
Yeah, I think. Well, no, it's got all this glass in it, and it's got a...
Well, see, but I mean, for like that the door kind itself. Of money, I would expect like a Star Trek thing where you just walk through it.
You just walk right through it. It separates. No, it's
they have those. They're called Ooh. Bead doors.
Yeah. Yeah, beads. The beads hanging yeah. down, exactly.
I've never actually seen one of those in real life.
That's because you're too young. Yeah. You weren't alive in 1973
yeah,
where they
say.
Were everywhere.
Oh, right, I bet. Is, what is, they don't do anything.
They just make noise and
slow
you down.
They're just there to be cool?
Yeah, well,
probably,
it was the height
yeah.
of the hippie era.
That's true.
Yeah. Patchouli oil and
yeah.
glass
lava lamps didn't do anything
doors.
Either. Well, yep. they did light up a room, yeah. so I guess...
Some function.
Some function.
More form than function. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we did this, but we are right on time.
Of course we are.
How the hell did that happen? That never happens. All right, we're going to take a break and be right back. Car selling secrets coming up next, ladies
yeah,
and gentlemen.
Baby.